Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee, the podcast on the business of video production.
Creatives Grab Coffee is hosted by Dario Nuri and Kirill Lazarov from Labs Productions. Our goal is to share knowledge and experiences from video production professionals around the world. Whether you're a freelancer looking to start your own business or a seasoned business owner aiming to scale your company, this is the show for you.
Join us as we develop a community of like-minded creatives looking to learn and help each other grow. Welcome to the business of video production. Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee.
Before we get started with the show, let's go over today's sponsors.
Do you have a shoot in Toronto? Do you need crew or a strong production partner to help you with your project? Labs Productions is one of the top production companies in Toronto and your go-to video partner.
With our strong creative skills and extensive network, we can help you achieve your goal. Labs Productions is able to offer you production services, white label services, or finder fees for project handoffs.
Reach out to us on our website at lapsproductions.com to learn more.
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group van packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We're more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. And we're all gonna have a real good time.
And now, let's begin the show. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Creatives Grab Coffee. We got another returning guest, Julian Tillotson from Indie Rap Productions. Welcome back, man.
What's happening? Glad to see you guys. Always fun.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, since we've already had you on the show, we're not going to do a little bit of a backstory, but give us a little quick update. What have you been up to since the last, I think, 1 to 2 years since we last had you on?
Has it been that long?
Yeah, wow. You were part of like episode 50 to 60 range. I forget which exact one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that must have been like season. No, it was like in the 50 to 60 range. I know that for sure because I've been going back to get reels from the old episodes and like the cutoff was like episode 60 for Riverside. But yeah, it's been about a year or so.
Yeah, it's been a year. It's, I guess time flies when you're having fun. But yeah, man, I mean, it's, you know, in terms of the landscape of content and all that kind of stuff, it's really full 360. I think the good thing for content creators right now, and working with brands and things like that is like brands know they need content now. You're not doing a lot of convincing. You're not doing a lot of selling and things like that. People know they need it. The challenge is breaking down how to use it within their brand ecosystem. That's really what people, that's really what the education piece is for us and for our clients and just like, you know, marketers at large is to explain that to the brands that we work with, how to actually use the content to max out the ROI. You know, it's not just social, it's not big brand production, it's not just like paid ads all the time. It's a very a good mix of all of them, depending upon the type of brand you are, you know, whether it's, you know, B2C, B2B, B2G, whatever it is, and using it to your advantage to grow your brand. That's really what we've been up to, building out the, blueprint for how to do that for brands and educating our clients.
What's B2G?
Isn't it government?
Government.
Oh, okay.
The most boring stuff in the world, government content.
Hopefully the most well-paid, though.
Exactly. Yes, they do have a bag, so there's that.
I feel like there is now a new scale in our industry where it's like boring to fun ratio, where it's like the more boring a project is, the more expensive it is, and the more creative it is, like the more like the budgets go less and less almost.
Look, I made a career out of taking boring content and making it dope. Like that's what I do. Nice. We actually stay away from like fitness or like a lot of like, you know, TikTok shot. Like, we don't touch any of that. There's plenty of people out there that will do that. We don't want anything to do that. You know, music, all the sexy stuff, I don't want anything to do with it, because it's usually a race to the bottom. You know, the people that are at the top, there's, you know, one or two people that actually may make money creating that content. I'd rather swim in a blue ocean, not a red ocean. And that's kind of what we do here at IndieRap. We take, you know, whether it's corporate brands or real estate brands or whatever, we make them, we make great content, we make it sexy, we make it cool, and it actually helps grow their business, which is what we're in business for.
Before we continue, just Julian, I hear the mouse clicking.
Oh. Okay. This, yeah, you might
can
have
to switch to like touch. Yeah.
Oh, there's someone else there.
You can go in there. Yeah.
Now I got to do a mental note for myself to come and cut this section out.
I mean, you'll see it, but yeah. What was the last thing we were talking about?
Well, he's pivoting. You're pivoting now to more marketing content for your clients, or is it a pivot that you've been doing, or is it just easier for you to sell it?
It's an evolution. You know what I mean? Like, when we first started, it was a lot of like, you know, it's a brand video or it's case studies and all that kind of stuff. And that was what people were doing. And then, you know, people evolved into social media and things like that and paid marketing. But, you know, so because there's more options across the board for brands, some brands are way more heavily weighted into one bucket than the others. So it's really about balancing it across the board and making sure that, you know, you're not using brand videos for top of funnel. You just don't. You don't put a brand video is not for top of funnel. Case study content is not top of funnel. It's middle of funnel or bottom of funnel. You know, social content is top of funnel for the most part. But there are social pieces that you can use for middle of funnel and bottom of funnel. So having, you know, the right mix of those three categories, but also making sure you have that mix in the appropriate places in a sales funnel is extremely important for brands and businesses. And a lot of marketers don't understand this. A lot of businesses and brands do not understand this. They don't get it. So what we're doing is helping break that all down for them and educate them on how to achieve the, you know, ideal mix of content for their business.
And what's your process for educating them on that?
I mean, you know, whether it's through our social content or through YouTube content, whether it's through our email newsletters, whether it's face-to-face meetings, you know, that I'm running with clients, whether I'm on set with a client like yesterday, just asking like, hey, what's working for you right now? What's hitting the content that we did last month? What's working? What's not? Always being under the hood and always being curious, because, again, there's no one size fits all. You know, what works for a real estate brokerage in Denver, Colorado, might not work for one in Chicago or Miami. So you have to really be under the hood asking these questions and making the tweaks, whether it's to their content or how it's distributed or to copy that goes along with something. You know, right now, like, you know, we have a client where guy built a personal brand. He had, you know, hundreds of 100,000 something followers. When he came to us, he wanted to build a course. So we built the course, and it's like, okay, we need to create social content, ongoing sales for him. So we did the, you know, foundational piece, which is the online course, you know, shot the course, put it in Kajabi, all that good stuff. All right, let's do some top of the funnel content. So we've been doing monthly content for over a year now, and then running the ads to actually sell the course and build out the funnel and the drip campaigns within his CRM. So it's really, for him, that's what works. And you really just have to understand. And I think I said this last time I talked to you guys, like, video is not enough. Creating a video is not going to do anything for any brand. It's just not. You know, you need a series of videos. You need an entire content ecosystem that's working for you, because you got to find clients where they're at. You got to be where they're at in their journey. And, you know, spending, you know, $10,000, $15,000 on a brand video, it's not going to do anything for most brands. It's a great start. It's foundational cornerstone content that you're going to be used for the next 3 to 5 years for most brands, right? Everybody does need a brand video. But if you think that brand video, if you're going to post to Instagram and think somebody's going to stop and watch a 2-minute video, you're nuts. it's not gonna happen for, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta take that video, chop it down, remix it, add hooks at the beginning to get their their attention, and turn it into top of funnel content, so that they do become a fan, so that they do start getting their FAQs answered, so that they do start seeing like case studies and clients that you've worked with via testimonials. So that's just how it works. You know, if you're in the video production business or in the marketing business and all you're doing is creating one type of video, one type of content, you're just, the client's just missing out on maximizing the ROI that they can get out of an actual content strategy, not a video. Video's not.
And you're also losing out on the potential ROI you can get on that client too, because if they come for you just for one type of video, and you don't put on your strategy hat and really pick and poke at what their plan is, you're missing out on potential work. Like, I noticed quite a few leads that came in lately and they were asking for something. And then when I started breaking down like what they wanted and everything, I was like, you guys need the basics first. Like, I had one lead that wanted to do like a campaign, and I was like, do you guys even have like a regular video just explaining what it is you guys do? They're like, no. Right. And I was like, okay, we should probably start with that first.
It was like a video with actors and like depicting like a certain scenario about what their brand is and what their service offerings are, but in a very subtle way. I'm like,
it's basically like a commercial. And I'm like, yeah, you can't do that without first having like the basic company profile video. Like, what do you guys do? You? Like, your website banner, like something just to explain what you guys do. And then, and the other thing I noticed that is also really good to ask is also what their expectations are of the video asset. So I've even asked them, it's like, because they kept talking about, oh, we want this to go viral and everything, and I asked them, I was like, are you expecting the video I create for you to go viral? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, are you putting any ad dollars behind it? No. And I was like, it's not gonna go viral.
No.
So you have to tailor their expectations and really explain to them, like, you need to put in the work for that. I can basically just create the video for you, but after that, it's in your hands. Like,
yeah. And otherwise, like, if they don't know this and you don't bring this up to them, they might think, oh, the video didn't go viral, it must have been the video production company that we hired, that's probably why it wasn't viral, they weren't that good enough. And that probably happens to a lot of creators in our industry, where they create a video for a client, you know, expecting, okay, here's a video, they've done a great job, and then the client though is probably thinking, this is the best video ever, it needs to get millions of views on its own organically. It's like, it's not how it works. It
doesn't happen like that.
No, especially not now. Like to go viral now compared to what it was, everyone thinks like they wanted things to go viral like they did 10 years ago, where every week there was a new video that just blew up like crazy, whereas now it's, there's a lot of videos, and then even like the big ones, they just kind of like fall out of the ecosystem very quickly as well.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, being viral is not sustainable. Being viral means you blow up really quickly and then you go off the edge of a cliff. And it's like, then what? And then you're constantly chasing this high of being viral versus creating a content ecosystem that when someone comes in top of funnel, it feeds them through a systematized, predictable way of digesting content that exposes them to your brand, what you do, answers the FAQs, and drives them to, you know, book a call or buy the product or whatever that is. That is something that is predictable. That is something that is measurable. That is something that is repeatable. And that is what businesses and brands need. Brands, you can't run a, let's talk about just running a business. You can't run a business if everything is like, you know, fight or flight. You know what I mean? If it's like, I'm doing good in business if this video is viral, and then, oh, it's not, and then I'm dead. Like, that's not how you run a business. You know, you can't run a business like that. You can't build a brand like that. You have to have predictable, measurable KPIs, predictable, measurable ways of getting someone from top of funnel to bottom of funnel. And that's our job, you know, and, you know, for video production companies and videographers and other marketing people watching this podcast, your job is to educate clients on what this is. It's not to take orders from clients, because believe it or not, you know, I've been doing this for over a decade. I work with startups, I work with small business, I work with large enterprise, I work with some Fortune 500 companies. There are, you know, 5-person marketing teams at Fortune 500 companies that don't know what the hell they're talking about. I have to come in and educate them on how this stuff actually works. I'm the expert. So you have to, having the confidence in your own self as a marketer, as a content creator, to explain this stuff to people is a big part of getting content to actually work. If you just take orders and give people what they want, but they don't know what they're doing, they're going to keep crashing and burning it in and go like, the marketing company didn't work or the video guy didn't. No,
yeah, you didn't listen. The vendor.
They're going to blame the vendor. And, you know, it has to be, you have to know what you're talking about. You know, I eat, breathe, and sleep marketing and content, you know, from you know, ideation to creative to production to paid ads to SEO and all this kind of stuff. And in doing and understanding all of that, the full 360, you look at content a lot different. I think when you come in the game as a video guy or production agency, you think that video is the all in all. It's just the video and this is all. Well, it can be if all of these other things are clicking alongside that video. So if you're able to explain that, if you're speaking to a marketing team who is in charge of running ads and building out copy and all this kind of stuff, if you understand all that stuff, the power of copywriting and SEO and how this video is going to be integrated into their website and whether their website loads fast or slow, all these things impact the performance of content. And if you're able to educate them, they will, again, start to believe in you, and you will become an extension of their team. They will rely on you for the information beyond just the physical video. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of where, you know, we want to be as an agency for our partners, for our brand partners that we work with. We're a resource. We're an extension of their team. And yes, a lot of times video is the answer, but it's video used in ABC way that we help bring to life.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I noticed too is that, at least for this year, I've noticed a lot of clients that are coming to us for video, but they want to get more assets out of like the main video they're looking for. So if they're looking for like a promo video, I've noticed like they're asking for like, you know, can we get like a social media version? And then can we get like different cuts of that to also promote and everything? This is something like I at least for us, I never noticed it really in the past, but this year it seems to be like a big thing. And I've noticed myself also pitching it a lot more. So like when pitching new types of content, it's like, okay, here's the main explainer video. Why don't we also do a social media version? Let's do cut downs and all that stuff.
Yes. I mean, that's pretty par for the course these days. I mean, people understand that from a distribution standpoint, again, if you have a 2-minute video, that's only going to work middle of funnel, bottom of funnel, if anything. Mainly middle of funnel. So understanding like most of our deliverables, if somebody comes to us and say, hey, we want a brand video, it's like, all right, cool. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get a full 1 to 2 minute piece. We're going to give you a 60 second. We're going to give you 2 or 3 30 second cut downs. But we're going to give you that in 1:1, 9:16, and 16:9 ratios. So you can use them for paid. Yeah. That's the usual like breakdown of one piece of content. And in doing that, from a production standpoint, it doesn't take that much time and energy to take a 2-minute video and cut it down to those additional deliverables. So A, you can charge more, and B, you're adding more value for the client. It's like, okay, yeah, I know you wanted a brand video, but when you work with us at IndieRep, you also get all this. It's like, oh, wow, okay, that sounds great. Or they'll be like, what do I need all those videos for? Well, you have this video, you need to distribute it across your LinkedIn, your Instagram, on your website, all this. And some platforms need a 1-to-1, or some needs a 9:16 or a 1080, 1350, 4:5. And we can deliver that for you. Now, if you need help with distribution, we also do that. So we can take your content and then we'll upsell them into a paid ads campaign. We do that for a lot of our luxury residential development clients, where we'll run paid pre-development or leasing of that apartment building. So it sells itself.
I like that you include it. Oh, sorry. I like that you include all that content in there, even if sometimes they don't ask for it. It's almost as if it's like an expected thing of yourself as a team of what you provide the clients. And it's an interesting conversation to have with a client where it's like, oh, I never thought that I might need that. But like, do you have that conversation more before you've created it, or kind of like after? It's like, oh, what do I do with this kind of thing?
So when I first, you know, if I have a ideation call or, you know, strategy call with the client for the first time, I am on that call to understand everything that hurts, what their problems are, and then I prescribe what works. 9 times out of 10, they're going to need all of that content in order to get it out. Because I always say this, if you have a product at Whole Foods, do you want it on one shelf or 20 shelves? You want it on 20 shelves. And the way to do that is with all of these different deliverables. So what I'm trying to do is maximize the impact of the content that I'm going to be creating for this client. So it is my job to explain to them that they need all this. It's not enough to do one video. Maybe 10 years ago, yeah, you need a brand video. Here's your 2-minute video. Great. But in today's landscape, you need multiple versions, sometimes multiple sizes. You might need a video that's under 10 megabytes or something for a website. You know what I'm saying? To keep site speed higher than, and you don't get penalized by search engines. So it's my job to understand all this stuff as a marketer. It's my job to understand how content works within this, is going to impact this business as a marketer and as a professional. And that's how I see myself. I am a resource. I am a professional. And it's my job to educate them on. It's like the doctor. You know, there's a lot of crappy doctors out there, sure. But I want to be one of the best. I want to be a doctor to where people come and they can depend on us as a team here at IndieWrap, that they know that they're getting not only amazing content that visually is kick-ass, that the process of getting it to them is great, but then the education on how to use it and distribute it is even better. Because if you show them how to use, that's the trick. If they can take content and they can get ROI out of it or turn it into new leads or whatever, they're going to want to do more video content. If they don't understand that, it's going to crash and burn. They're going to say video doesn't work and they're never going to do video again. So like the trick is to educate them. You actually get more out of understanding this and educating them and telling them how to do it, not less. It's more of a win.
Do you educate your like long-term clients, like maybe like once a year, you just follow up with them, maybe tell them about like new trends in the industry or stuff like that?
Oh yeah. So I probably, whether it's once a quarter, you know, I'm following up with clients via email, or whether I'm on set with them, or I'm just like, you know, sometimes we'll finish up talking about a project. And then at the end of the call, I'll be like, hey, so what else is going on? You know, well, we got this coming up. Da, da, da. I'm always trying to check, take the temperature of where brands are right now. You know, also, you know, when we do send out like email communication, email newsletters, a lot of clients were like, hey, can we hop on a call so you can tell me what this is? This looks interesting. So yeah, I'm always, that's why, you know, one of my biggest goals this year is to 10x the amount of content that we're putting out, so that I can educate more people 24 hours a day about the stuff that I'm talking to you guys about right now. You know, long form YouTube content, shorts and reels. I want to be that talking that, about that information, because a lot of people don't, especially when it comes to like B2B marketing. There's a lot of sexy marketing content out there when it comes to like apparel or running brands or fitness or like TikTok shop. That's not the only type of content that is out there. Again, I've made an entire business, an entire career out of creating boring content. Nobody wants to talk about that because it's not sexy. But the vast amount of content that gets created for a lot of these businesses is that type of content. Boring B2B, whether it's dental, legal, whatever. There's not a business on planet Earth or brand on planet Earth that can't take content and make their brand grow faster with it. It doesn't exist, because I've worked with them all and I've seen it happen. So for me, educating more people is only going to bring more business to us. And the best way to get in front of more people, it's not email, it's not cold calling, it's none of that old sales, whatever. You can still do that, but you're going to be moving very slow. Content is the answer to get in front of your audience faster in an engaging and entertaining way. And again, my goal is to 10x that this year for IndieWrap.
So it's just like the, like in terms of like content for yourself, you're talking about like posting videos on LinkedIn, social media, just talking about. Like,
yeah. Just writing, you know, long form content. Like I just put a script together for, you know, or we're working on, I got a designer in this other room who you heard clicking, just working on a carousel post for, you know, the 8 types of videos to use within your sales funnel. And, you know, I'm working on, you know, and that'll be turned into a carousel post. It'll be turned into a long form piece of content that'll live on YouTube, which will be sent out to our email list. But then I'll take that same thing and chop it down into reels with hooks for Instagram and LinkedIn. You know, I try to focus on Instagram and LinkedIn. Those are the platforms. I've neglected LinkedIn because it just drives me nuts sometimes. That's a whole nother podcast. But that's where our clients are. And I believe that platform needs more engaging actual value add content versus someone be like, hey, look at me, I got a new job somewhere. You know what I mean?
It's changed a bit. I used to be really against it, and then Grant Jameson from Lift Video Production kind of changed my mind on it. I started using it more. But I noticed an issue that, like, you know, you try to like help out other people that are posting by like liking and commenting on their stuff. And I noticed the problem is if you start to do that, the same people that of whose content you liked will keep popping up in your timeline. Yes. So you don't see anyone new. That's it's always issue. Like the same people that I'm seeing now.
I noticed that, like, and that's why I stayed off. That's why I stayed off the platform. But go ahead, Kirill.
The other thing is also like your clients are not necessarily always posting as well. That's the other thing.
That's right.
So it's that's the kind of challenge right there where it's harder to engage with your clients or potential clients if they're not also that active or as engaged on LinkedIn. You know who is more active and engaged on LinkedIn? Other production companies. So now we're all in our own
But you know what, Kirill? I think we're posting a lot, and you said your clients might not be posting. I think they're not posting, but I think they're still on it.
Yes.
Yeah, they are on it, but the thing is only they can then engage with you through the posting.
Which is fine, because as long as they see it.
As long as they see it, yeah. No,
that's the most important part.
Right, top of mind.
That's the benefit, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I mean, and again, whether they're on LinkedIn or whatever, that's why you have to be across all of these platforms. You don't know where they are. They might only respond to an email you send from your Gmail, you know, or HubSpot or whatever CRM. They might be on LinkedIn. That's why taking content and distributing it and... Again, how many shelves do you want to be on? You got to put it on 20 shelves because you never know where you're hitting clients. You know, directors of marketing or presidents or CEOs of companies or whoever, you know, sales managers and things like that, they live in different worlds for the most part. They don't live in the same world. Like a director of marketing and like a sales manager for a big company, two different ways of digesting media. They watch different stuff. The form of media is different. So you have to be there. With your messaging, and you have to be there with your content to maximize the amount of eyeballs you can get on, you know, what you're talking about.
One other major benefit that I've noticed with LinkedIn over the years, and I think this is something that some people might forget occasionally as well, is when you're scrolling through your feed, you might notice occasionally a post that isn't someone from your connection, but someone that's connected to one of your connections that they engaged with. So it's showing also your connections engaging with other people. And then even sometimes a third removed connection. So it's interesting to see all the different layers. So if that's what you're seeing, that's what a lot of other people that are beyond your network are actually even seeing as well, in terms of like, okay, like you might be that second connection for someone else that they have seen, you know, and then they might be looking for a video at that time, and who might reach out.
That too. I noticed that on like Facebook and Instagram. Like half my feed is like not people I know.
you never know, and you just gotta kind of put it out there in the universe, and you know, sometimes those hooks catch fish, you know, and that I've caught fish that are, you know, 10-year clients, you know, they're still here, they're still doing business. So you just have to put it out there, because educating in this world of noise, in this world where every marketing firm is running ads, 90% of them are garbage. Everybody's got a video, a camera, everybody's selling a course, most of it's garbage. Okay. So it's very important, for someone to be putting out accurate information, for brands to actually grow and use marketing, because a lot of times I talk to people, it's like, yeah, I work with this other video company and it was a terrible experience and I haven't done video in the past couple years, but I know it works. So a lot of people are just, whether it's jaded or they've just been burnt in the past. Because if we don't get out there and talk about how to actually use this stuff and grow, it's all of these dipshits or whatever you want to call them who are burning these clients and lighting their marketing budgets on fire over and over and over. And it's lost opportunity. It's our job to let these people know how this stuff works.
Yeah. I want to go back to keeping in touch with your clients, like your older clients, like you said you do it quarterly, like, so that you mean that like every quarter you're reaching out to like the same clients, or like do you like break it up?
Yeah, so I have automations. So I have re-engagement campaigns. So depending upon whether a client has interacted with my website or clicked on an email or things like that, I have automated re-engagement emails just to like stay in front of them to potentially get them to book a call to talk about what's going on or whatever. Sometimes though, I will have, you know, my top 100 list of clients who's, you know, spent the most revenue with us over the past, you know, 3 to 5 years. And if I haven't heard from them, I'll give them a call, or I will shoot them an email like, hey, let's, you know, chat it up and see where you are. So I'm always, you never want contacts to fall to the bottom of the river, you know, and forget about them. So you want to be constantly, again, whether it's putting out content or sending emails or going to set, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of clients who are like, I don't go to set for the majority of what we do anymore. I just don't, you know, and if I do go, a lot of time it's to build that client relationship or to see what's up. Like we had two photo shoots this week, one for a big hotel brand in the West Loop, the other one's for probably the largest or one of the largest pizza brands in Chicago. And, you know, I went there to build rapport with our client, you know, because we're doing that photo shoot. We're also doing, like, you know, about to sign on for a 12-month contract to do a huge campaign and a bunch of collaborations between their brand and a bunch of other food brands. So going to say what's up and then kind of talk about that contract, push that across the finish line and see how we can continue to grow the brand. It's important. You don't want to be a transactional marketing agency. You don't want to just be waiting for people to come back to you to like, oh, I need another video, or oh, I need another SEO campaign. You have to be out there. You have to stay top of mind. Everybody's a marketer now. Everybody's a video guy. Everybody's everything. You know what I mean? Everybody sings, and then they're a travel influencer. It's a joke, and a lot of it's noise, you know. So I decided that I want to be the expert at something that I see myself as kind of being at the very beginning, pioneering video content and continuing to educate myself along the way to be a better provider to the brands that we work with. You know, like that's how serious I take what I do. Like I eat, breathe and sleep this stuff. And I have since I first started this. So for me, it's the only way. You know, I have to cut through the noise. I have to be on social. I have to be talking. I have to be behind the camera and in front of the camera. I have to understand what businesses and brands need right now. I need to understand, like, okay, why are brands, what do I do with these brands that's holding on to their marketing budgets as idiots talk about tariffs constantly and people are scared to spend money? How do I go and educate them on, okay, I know that's going on, but this is how you can still use your budget to expand your audience or grow your audience or help with sales enablement within your organization or help train the new recruits that you're hiring, the new Gen Z young people, because your 30-minute training video sucks and you need to create a training series. Like, that's what I'm here for, and that's what I'm supposed to do. You got to cut through the noise, and you, in order to do that, you have to stay in front of clients. No matter what, you have to stay in front of them. You have to talk to them. And you got to get out here and make noise. I've always been a guy that, for me, it's like, okay, how do I stand out like a sore thumb? I don't want to do anything that anyone else is doing. Because that's what good marketing and advertising is. It is having a mission, having a very specific product offering for your clients, and them coming to you as a resource and doing that over and over and over again.
How do you manage your time? Because it seems like you're doing so many things, and I'm in a spot right now where I find that in a given week, like, I feel like I'm barely getting anything done, and there's like so much to do. Like, how do you figure it out?
I hear you, man. I mean, so I'm very like, I have the best team. My team's fucking amazing, like, to say the least. Like Lydia, Peter, Chris, you know, Deepu. I have my subcontractors that I work with. Like, my team's fire. right? So it's not just me. So having a team allows me to focus on this stuff that I'm talking to you about a little more, which is sales and marketing, right? And education and things like that. It's very important to have good people in order to, so they can do what they do and I can do what I do and continue to grow. Now that's just on the team side, but I am extremely organized. You know, I do work with a business coach, and I have for the past, for years, just in terms of like keeping me on task and like, okay, what are our 3-year goals? What are our 5-year goals? You know, if we ever want to do an exit, what does that look like? So making sure that having people around you that can kind of hold you accountable. The thing with an entrepreneur, and you guys know this, is like, you know, it's a lot of times it's just you standing on a mountain alone with nobody to talk to. You know what I mean? You don't know where to turn. You don't know, like, this shit's tough. Being an entrepreneur, you know, owning a business is very hard. It's very lonely at times. You can get in your head a lot. So having a team and having, you know, mentors and things like that to be able to rely on is very important and keep you on track. You know what I mean? My wife keeps me on track. You know what I'm saying? Like, I talk to a lot of people, and I share, if I'm having a bad day and I, you know, I'm going through shit, I share with people. I don't keep shit bottled up. I keep a heart on my sleeve. Chris, my editor, might come in here one day and I'm like, dude, I'm having a shitty day. You know, let's talk about it or whatever. That's how I am. And it helps me process things and just stay focused on the task at hand. I also time block. So like on Saturdays, I have a 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Block to where I can just focus on growth, right? Because during the week, it's chaos. Anything can happen. Between 10 a.m. and 2 on a Saturday, nobody bothers me. My phone's not ringing. I can sit down. I can write down all my goals. I'm surrounded by paper here and things that I need to do. And that's what I do. Most of the time, 30% of my day is planning and writing copy. Like, that's 30% of most days I'm writing copy, whether it's copy for a script, whether it's copy for a website, whether it is copy for a new ad campaign that we're running out, or planning for indie rep content, writing the long form script copy that I can load into a teleprompter and bang out long form YouTubes. I spend a lot of time doing that. So it seems like a lot going on, but it's controlled chaos. And I also, one of the things that I do, I have paper and a pen, right? When I come into the office every day, I write down the 5 to 10 things that I need to get done that day, and I cross them out as I get them done. That way, if I get sidetracked, if somebody comes in, if I got to hop on a call, or I've had way too much espresso when I'm just bouncing off the damn walls that day, I can be like, oh shit, what was it? Okay, I got to do that. Boom. And then I get it, and I get back to it. Because that's how I am. That's just me. One of the biggest issues I've had, you know, my entire life is procrastination and just not staying focused on being able to stay focused.
You sound like me.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's how we are as creative. That's probably one of the reasons why a lot of creatives don't do in school, because I didn't do good in school because I didn't want to sit there and listen to something boring. I just wanted to do my own thing. And they call you a hyper or attention deficit. I was like, dude, I'm just not interested in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So for me, I write it down and I cross things off just to make sure and just to stay on track, because I do have a lot going on. But sometimes you have to write down like, okay, this is the priority stuff. This has to get done first. And if I get to this stuff, that's cool, but I have to get this done. And those are the 5 to 10 things that I write down on a piece of paper every day when I come to the office, so that between the hour when I'm here from 8 a.m. to, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, I'm getting through that list. And if there's a couple of things that get done, I put that one, number one and two the next day. So I'm constantly making progress no matter what.
Yeah, progress is key. I was finding that last couple of weeks there was so much stuff I needed to get done that even though I was getting, like, let's say I needed to get 5 to 7 things done that day, I would get maybe 2 or 3 done. I'd feel like I was like failing, because it's like, oh, there's like 4 or 5 things I didn't finish. And then it took me like a little bit to realize it's like, as long as I'm getting some major stuff done that week, it's yes, still sir. Good because it's progress. And I noticed another thing that helped me is that I like to do what you do instead of on pen and paper. I do it on Google Keep. I'll have like my lists over there. I noticed that one thing that really helped was creating like a longer term goal for those tasks. So instead of giving myself like, I got to get it done today, or I got to get it done this week, I would put myself, it's like, I got to get it done this quarter. And I noticed like it takes a lot of the stress off. And then I noticed that like it'll help, like I've been able to get through it a lot better because now I'm not stressing to finish it. And also because like, let's say it's a big task, right? I'll break it up. Like if I have 30 minutes today, maybe an hour in 2 days, like it still adds up. I'm still getting it done over the course of like, you know, a couple months, right?
And I also find organizing the tasks in terms of like the kind of like who you're kind of like doing those tasks for. You know, you have like the certain tasks you need to do for client work. You have the certain stuff you need to do for the business. And then any other either small or other aspects that you need to kind of get done. And it's funny because you're sometimes, at least what I'm finding is like you're getting really into all the work that you have to do for your clients because that stuff can pile up very quickly over time. And even though you're able to kind of like hire freelancers and contractors that can help you with a lot of that, there's still a lot that needs to get done at times. And then like deadlines come quicker than you realize. So then sometimes all the other tasks kind of have to take a backseat so you can make sure you can deliver those things on time. So it's always a little bit of that kind of, that kind of like mental battle. I was like, all right, like I need to work on this, but also the client stuff needs to get done within the next day or two, right? Because I've been handling a lot of the post-production aspects over the last couple months. And one thing I found that's kind of helped is even breaking down even further, like the certain tasks for the clients that you're kind of like working. It's like, it's one thing to say, I need to get this video done for the client, right? By a certain day. It's very general to say that, right? But I'm starting to kind of like break it down even more in terms of, let me go through all the raw stuff for all my clients within these 2 days, you know, go through all the projects, the stuff that's going to take the most amount of time, but also at the same time, not the most brain power, right? But then when you get into the more creative where you're actually putting the videos together, then you can start like putting different blocks. And even though you haven't gotten, say, the full video done in that moment, you've gotten a majority of the work actually taken care of. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're wrapping up 3 or 4 projects out of nowhere, right?
Right.
Like this morning, I did something from 7 to 8:30 where I wrapped up 2 video deliverables and I had already sent them off. I'm like, oh, great. Those two were like, even though they were minor tasks to do, they were still kind of like taking control over like, you know, like your mental capacity of like, oh, there's so much more to do. Now it feels like there's a lot less. So it's all about breaking things down, breaking your tasks down as much as possible, I think will really help over time.
It's important to have it in your head to know what, some people fly by their seat of their pants. And I'm like, dude, you know, I coach, I mentor a handful of people. I'm like, bro, you have to have systems that are predictable and you have to write things down. That will get you so far in life. You know what I mean? Versus just like waking up and trying to figure it out every day. I'm like, when you do that, you're like starting over every single day. Like write down and track what you're getting done, measure it, and then either do it again the next day better or don't ever do it again.
Information is so key. And especially once you get to a certain point where you have a couple of years under your belt, like that's a lot of debt. Like I wish when we first started, we were tracking everything. Leads coming in, margins on projects, like even something as simple as like digitizing receipts. Like I wish we did that right from the beginning because we started lately, but it's like, man, like we're missing like gaps that could really help us in with something as simple as like retargeting campaigns for like leads that never panned out, right? Like, oh man, like that information is so key to helping you grow. And again, like you never know how it can help you either. Like you might even like start reflecting on like, for example, you might start looking at your margins, right? And you might go like, hey, how come I thought we were making a lot of money, but when I'm looking at the numbers, like it's actually not as high as I thought it would be. Maybe it could be something as simple as like you were offering an extra service and you thought it was bringing in a lot of money. Yeah. And then you look at it, you're like, wait a minute, that's barely bringing in anything. Why do we even offer it? Like,
right. You were just doing a ton of work, chasing your tail, feeling like you were doing something. You weren't actually making any money. Been there, done that. Yep.
Yeah, that was a recent discovery. Like a few days ago, Dario called me. It's like, hey, this thing we've been offering clients for a little while. Yeah, we're not really making all that much when you think about it. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, look, sometimes you take on different tasks in the beginning also to kind of help elevate the client experience so that they come back for more of the other work necessarily. So there's sometimes that intangible that you that can't be quantified, right? You know, where you offer like a service that you might not make a lot of money on there, but you enhance the client experience so that they book more work with other with the main service that you're essentially doing. So there's there is that flip side to it, but yeah, to Dario's point, like, you know, in general, sometimes you might be doing something that it's taking more time and brain power than actually what it's earning your business. You know, sometimes you might need to figure out that energy and time. If I just took that and I spent it on trying to do more outbound outreach to find new leads, that could be more lucrative over time, right? You never know.
For sure.
You mentioned earlier you also do like paid campaigns for your clients. Can you like tell us a little bit about that? Because it's come up before on the podcast about how, like, you know, we might have people come on that talk about, like, you know, we're strategists and everything for the client, but they don't take on the actual marketing role for them. But you did that. So, like, what prompted you to offer that as a service?
Yeah, I mean, we've been running ads since 2020, I want to say. It really just boils down to most people know they need content. Most people don't know what the hell to do with it. You know, everybody knows they need video. Everybody knows that they need to be on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever it's like. But if you just hop on a call, if you're on a discovery call with someone, it's like, okay, just ask them, be like, okay, what's your plan for distribution? Where's this video going to live? A lot of people be like, huh, I didn't think about that. And you don't make money when you create a video. You make money when you distribute, monetize it, right? A video is just a vehicle for, you know, your brand to get in front of an audience. But if you don't have a way to get that content in front of people, you're dead in the water, you know, which is why a lot of people, a lot of big brands, especially back in the day, they would spend all this money with a video production company and then you never hear from them again because you didn't have that conversation with them. You gave them this video and then, you know, 2 years go by and you don't hear from them. And then you look up and they're working with another marketing agency that did that. They're like, oh, we're working with this place now. And they're doing everything for them. They're doing their website, their SEO, their ads. They're doing their video. But they're not actually doing the video. They're just subbing in some other video production company to work for this marketing agency, right? But if you are able to explain that to clients, you can keep more where you're at. So that's why we did it. It's like, you know, if we go out to LA and shoot for 2 days straight for, you know, 750 unit luxury residential towers in downtown LA, it's like, okay, we're shooting for 2 days straight. We have all this content. How do we give the client the maximum amount of content possible so that they can distribute, monetize this, and fill up all 750 units to 96% occupancy? That's how my brain operates. It's not, my brain does not operate anymore. I mean, maybe it does subconsciously, but it's not like, okay, how do I go and make this sick video for 2 days and then did it? That's where it starts. Like, I could shoot sick content, cool content with my eyes closed from a hospital bed. It's easy. I've been doing that great. I'm really good at it, but that is not where it starts. That's where it begins. How do we take this content and turn it into 30 assets that this developer or the property manager can use to lease this stuff up? So, you know, asking, you know, and helping the client understand, like, okay, who is your ideal client? Okay, you're the people that live in this building, they live around LA. They don't want to live in West Hollywood because it's too expensive. A lot of these people are influencers and YouTubers and things like that. Okay, great. So that's going to influence what content we take from this large pool of content and give it to them and add copy to run it across YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, because that's where these people are. So it's just a deeper conversation. It allows us to do more. It allows us to provide more ROI for the client. And I think, Dario, we were talking about this before. I don't know if it was somebody else. A lot of video people, video production agencies, if you ask them how this, what this content has done for their client, they don't know. it's just a guessed answer. It's like, oh, yeah. I don't know. You can't measure video unless you're doing distribution and monetization. You do not know unless you ask the client and they can kind of tell you, like, you know, this video did A, B, and C. You know, like, I have Fortune 500 companies that a Fortune 500 company we work with, that they have their own internal paid media team. And we just went and shot like 6 new case study videos that we're going to be putting on our website. And I had to ask them, I'm like, look, I know we didn't do distribution, but can you give us 3 big stats for what this did for? And these stats were like way past what I thought. I was like, shit, this is huge.
Oh, that's great. So, like, asking the client for what the results were. Like, sure. I never thought about doing that because, yeah, they would know, right? They have the numbers.
Yeah, you have to. I would just be like, hey, I know we've been working together for, you know, 3-4 years. I see the content all over the place. We're creating some case studies on our website. I'd love to get like 2 or 3 stats to talk about how this video's benefited you guys, is, you know, whether it's bookings or whatever it is, you know, how many cars you sold or whatever the thing is. It's important because when you come to another mistake that a lot of agencies do, video companies, their entire website is all about their portfolio and how pretty the video is. A client wants to know what the benefits and features are and what you've done for other people. The only way to quantify that is to have these numbers. You have to have these numbers in order to justify someone spending $15,000 to $20,000 or $5,000 with you. It's a lot easier to sell something if you have numbers to quantify the ROI.
So you guys offer that in-house, or do you have like a partner you work with?
We do it in-house.
Okay. Like, was it, because it's rare, like a lot of production companies usually don't offer that in-house. Okay. Did you have any issues getting that off the ground, or?
No, because I've been running paid for myself since 2015. I've been running ads, you know, with me and the ad burning. And yeah, so we were doing it already for ourselves, you know, and that a lot of the everything that we ever sell here at IndieWrap, I was doing it for myself first, right? Like, before I started IndieWrap, I was shooting video ads for my real estate company. You know what I mean? Like, that I was on camera and shooting. So we eat what we cook, is that what I like to say? You know, I, as the chef, I like to eat what I cook. So for that first 5 years, I was running ads. On YouTube, I was running ads on Instagram, and I was turning it into revenue for the brand. I was getting a lot of leads and all that good stuff. So Deepu Thomas, who I've been working with since then, or back then, 2017, I think, runs all of our ads. You know what I mean? So, like, we had a working relationship where it's like, he's sitting right here, I'm looking at my screen, it's like, all right, this ads, the cost per click for this one's $6, this one's $2, how do we make it? Okay, cool. So, like, I understand how this works firsthand. If I go and spend $10,000 and I'm able to turn it into $40,000 in a month, or if I spend $10,000 and I don't get shit back, I know how that feels. I know how it feels to burn money on marketing. So for us, it was trial by fire. We kind of learned it here and we scaled it up, and now we offer it for our clients. Now, it is something that we have to believe in the product that we're selling or what they're trying to promote for us to do it. We will not do it for everybody. If we don't believe that we can get you an ROI on your ad spend, we're not interested, you know. And I have referral partners that I'll refer it to. Like, if you're trying to sell like some stuff on TikTok Shop, I don't do that. I got a partner that does that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, when it comes to the real estate thing though, like I just mentioned, we kill that all day long. We kill it. It's easy.
This reminds me of the retainer conversations we've had, how like the people that have it working only do it with specific clients.
Yeah.
It's just, like, similar to that.
It doesn't work with everyone. And also, not every client is going to want to relinquish all that control to someone else too, I guess, maybe. Like, how have you found that type of conversation where some people are like, oh, like, I need to give
He's only doing it with specific people. So I'm assuming it's people you already have a long-term, like, really good relationship with,
sometimes,
right?
No, I mean, some people come to us because, you know, right now is all of our advertising, again, it's foundational brand content, social content, and paid. So people come to us cold on a you know, discovery call, and I'll just have them kind of tell me about what they're trying to do, and based upon that, based upon the report that I build with them right then and there, I decide on whether this is a good idea or not, whether it's like, okay, we'll do the content, but then for the pay, go talk to this person. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'll give it to somebody else. And I don't mind doing that because all money ain't good money. Sometimes I'll start talking to a client and I'll realize like, yeah, I don't want to be in bed with them on a paid campaign and they're going to be a nightmare every day.
Right.
Like, you know, like even like with the learning phase, like of any ad campaign, it takes say a week or 2 weeks to get an ad out of a learning phase. And they're like, oh, we want to make sure we get a sale. If we start today, we want to sell tomorrow. It's not going to happen. Yeah. You're not giving the algorithm time to figure out how this shit's going to work. Your pixel's not even set up. You don't even have a Google Ads account. You know nothing about ads, but yet you want to tell me everything about how to run an ad campaign. So if that comes across, I'm like, I'm good. It's not going to happen. Bye. I'll do your content. I'll shoot your video. I'll do your brand photography. But in terms of running an ad campaign with you and being buddy-buddy in bed in an ads word account, I'm good. And I say it with that amount of confidence because I understand advertising at that level. I don't need all the money. All money and good money. It's just not.
I like that. And I guess how you also went through it for yourself. Like you tested it on yourself. So you knew exactly how it works and everything. And that makes sense to me because at least if you mastered it for yourself, makes sense that you can offer it because you know how it works versus like just offering it to offer it. Do you know what I mean?
Just for the sake.
Yeah, you can get in a lot of trouble if you do not understand paid advertising and you offer to a client. You can. It's a very quick way to ruin a client relationship if you don't. Yeah.
Have you seen that happen with others, or like you've heard stories and like?
I hear it all the time. There's always nightmare clients, whether it's paid or like a video stuff. I mean, in marketing, you're dealing with human beings, and human beings have emotions, and human beings have bad days. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't hit a home run with everything you do in life. So, you know, every paid ad campaign is not going to be a winner. You know, sometimes, you know, even in the past, I believed in something that was going to work for a client. But then, you know, we're sending them leads and they're just not, their follow-up sucks. Or they, you know, their fulfillment sucks. And it's like, you know, it's not our ads. It's you need to get your stuff together in order for this to actually work.
Yeah, it's funny how similar it is to like just delivering a video. Like when you just deliver a video, you don't know how they're going to market it. But then if you're also marketing it for them, you don't know how they're going to intake the leads that you send them, right?
It's the whole thing, dude.
And oh, like, my God. Yeah, it's like you basically have to run their business at that point. It's like, yeah. where does it stop?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like when you take that distribution and monetization part on, it's not just the ads. It's like understanding like, okay, when the lead comes in, who is this going to? And then what's the follow-up time? And then having a weekly call with like, okay, did this turn into a sale? And sometimes with a lot of products, you know, e-com's different. I know that's the sexy thing that everybody markets where you can just measure things in Stripe or whatever you're using. A lot of times, especially for B2B, the sales cycle's a lot longer. You know what I'm saying? So for a lot of B2B marketing, B2B, you know, for us, we work with a lot of B2B clients. I run a lot of YouTube pre-roll. And I understand that if somebody sees an indie rep ad right today, I don't expect them, 3% of the population will buy right today and they'll convert. Most people, what you're doing and what an ad campaign needs to be is a brand awareness campaign to where you start becoming top of mind for that thing that you're selling. And then when they're ready to convert, they reach out to you. So they might see a YouTube pre-roll ad, they might subscribe to us on YouTube. And then 6 months later, I get a lead that comes in like, yeah, I've been watching all your YouTubes. We'd love to work with you guys. You guys know what you're talking about. So it didn't directly come from the ad campaign, but because of their brand awareness, they went and followed us on Instagram. They went and subscribed to us on YouTube and they passively watched us, kind of how people do on LinkedIn. They're not on their posts and they're not doing it, but they're watching all your content. They love your stuff. And the cool thing about now, you know, we use HubSpot. I'm able to track all that. I can see what people are watching and I can see how this stuff works again for myself because I'm running ads and I see them clicking and watching and all that kind of stuff. And I can plan for campaigns around that. I don't expect everything to be an immediate conversion. You know, if I'm spending money on YouTube or Meta or all that kind of stuff, you got to let stuff cook. You gotta let stuff heat up. You gotta, especially if you're going into a new market, you have to establish market share in someone's brain and establish brand equity over time before you can expect them to turn to a customer.
Yeah, I like it.
You got me thinking already a little bit right now about some of the small like videos that we could potentially start putting together, Dario and I, for like LinkedIn and other socials, because sometimes you just need that like other perspective to kind of get you thinking again. So I think the other thing we could also recommend to a lot of other people in our industry is talk to other people within your network, you know, see what they're doing, have these types of conversations, because you never know where you might even get like some ideas and inspiration for new content. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you never know. And I would say, like, just try it out. Like, what do you got to lose? Like, create content, run an ad campaign, like, start learning about SEO. Like, just become a professional. Become a really good marketer. You know, the world needs really good marketers. There's a lot of crappy marketers out here. The world needs good marketers. Good marketers are not a dime a dozen. I promise you they're not. You know, charlatans and BS marketers are a dime a dozen. They are out here, open up any social app and you will see them running ads and they will be taking your customers, and you get mad thinking like, I got all this great video. Oh yeah, but they're great marketers. Why aren't you? You got to get on the playing field with them and knock them out. You know,
that's how I see this episode.
Huh?
You got a vendetta this episode.
Absolutely.
Someone's been irritating you lately.
I'm coming after any crappy marketer, video companies out there that are burning clients. I'm coming after you. That's my job. You know what I'm saying?
You're doing a public service for clients. You know, it's a public service.
I'm doing a public service for clients as well as the good guys like us.
Yeah.
People that are actually doing this. And, you know, trying to help brands grow, that's who I'm doing it for. Because I understand that everybody, not every video, you know, or business owner wants to be on camera as a marketer. Some people are behind the scenes and that's cool, even though I think you should get on camera. It's my job to spread the gospel, because all marketing agencies aren't bad. You know, a lot of businesses have been burned so many times. They just, marketers are bad. Oh, I don't need marketing. I don't need video. You just need a good partner.
I think if you're a production company owner out there, you should be doing the marketing all yourself, like getting in front of the camera. Like,
yes.
I don't know how you could potentially survive in the future not doing that, because it's becoming increasingly more evident that you need to be doing that stuff. Like, you got to do like a land, sea, and air approach. Like all three. You can't just like.
Because it shows that, you're open. It shows that you're open as a business as well. You're not.
Not even that. Like, you just need to survive as a business. Like, how can you run a production company and not be doing SEO? Like, how did you make it?
You won't survive.
There are some production companies, or like, rather, you know what it is? Also, a lot of the time, it's production companies that are just single owned guys, basically people that are working under the name of a production company that get all their work through word of mouth or just through connections, which is fine. So that's probably how they've survived for so long. But then once that dries up, which happens to everyone at some point, what do you have then? Like, if you were only relying on, it's like production companies that are built on having 60% of their business being one client. That's not sustainable. Like if you do that, if that client goes, I've heard so many stories of companies that have just, and agencies that were built on that. And then once that client went, they were decimated. Like, it's, you have to figure out what's sustainable for you as a business over time. You know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, put your eggs in multiple baskets.
I'd also say everybody talks niche. You better be careful with those niches, because if you focus on one industry,
that's what I've
been
like thinking.
If that industry is hit by tariffs, and you know they pull their marketing budget, you're finished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You better learn how to work with everybody. And the niching thing is extremely overrated. I do not believe in it, and I think it as a business is just not a good idea. You want to diversify your client mix, whether that is the sizing of client or the industry that they're in. You need to have a diverse client mix if you want to sustain through, you know, economic, political
to survive.
Turmoil. Like anything can happen, and you know, if, again, 60% in one client, you're crazy.
Man, the niching has been coming up so often this year in our episodes, but
yeah,
I'm like so hesitant. Like, and you know, you hear the opposite too. It's like, oh, you need to niche in order to survive. But I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I'd rather just be like a generalist. Yeah. Like,
I think there's I don't think you need to go and fully niche down where you're going to start turning away any other type of work. There's not that aspect. I believe that there is something to maybe like taking periods of time where you want to focus on certain industries, for example, if you want to try to target certain industries and focus some of your marketing efforts in that area, that's fine. And because then like, if it doesn't work, then you can move on to something else.
You know what I think, Kirill? I think that for every person we hear talking about how niching has worked for them, there's 9 other companies that tried it and failed miserably. That's
exactly. Yeah.
I think it didn't really start being talked about. It's a social media thing. People start talking about it and people were bought into it. And, you know, the other thing about that is like, as a creative, you know, I think of myself as a creative person, right? If I'm working on one type of client doing one thing all the time, my creativity is siloed.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, you know, I've worked across dozens and dozens and dozens of industries. So I'm able to take creative aspects that I might have used in the real estate market and use it in a tech sales situation, whether that's be the way that I shoot the space or the way that we approach the hook in the video, or, you know, taking things from more exciting industries and taking them over to boring industries like manufacturing or logistics and supply chain and integrating it into them to take their content to a whole nother level. That's the beauty of not doing that. I couldn't imagine sitting and all I'm talking to are medical people all day. I'd go nuts. Or real estate agents. I would jump off a bridge. I'd be finished. I have to be able, as a creative, to stay engaged, especially if I've been in the game for over a decade. You know, for me to still be here and still be excited and pumped up and have all this energy to do it, it only happens because I've been able to do and see so many things in so many different places with so many different kinds of clients. And I'm, you know, I sit up and I'm thinking of new ideas like, oh, what if we did this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still excited. I wouldn't be excited if all I did was work with dentists.
I can see it working if you're like, okay, like we're, for example, with us, we're starting to see like more clients coming in from the optometry space. We're like, I can see it as like me going like, okay, Kirill, let's try to get some more in that space because we got a little bit of portfolio going on and they're easy to work with. Budgets are good.
Yeah, that's what I was talking
like
about.
Like that, but to just strictly go like, no, we're just going to focus on optometrist videos. Like,
that's
it's
way
crazy
too,
to me. Yeah. I don't know how people do that.
Crazy. And I think there is value in, if you're going to do that, say optometry, you do need to know how to speak that language, right? In order to provide value. But like, all industries need the exact same thing, whether it's brand awareness, they need new leads, da da da. But I might talk to an optometrist totally different than I talk to a supply chain guy, to somebody in medical. You just need to learn the jargon to prescribe the right whatever video to them. It's all the same stuff. At the end of the day, it's all the same stuff. I've
especially
sold the exact
B2B.
Same products for years.
Yeah,
especially B2B, yeah. It's the same thing. It's not like me talking to a if I have a discovery call with the dentist, and then I have a discovery call with a roofing contractor, and then I have a discovery call with a tech company, it's going to be the exact same conversation, but in 3 different, slightly different languages.
It's like dialects, almost.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it is. It's the same thing. It's not like you're not a genius because all you do is specialize in talking to dentists, like to an extent. But like if you go and have a conversation with a dentist, I'm pretty confident that I can have an equal, if not better, discovery conversation with them and prescribe them the right marketing to grow their brand.
Yeah,
I agree.
Know?
Like
the key nowadays is to be flexible and to be willing to learn and try to understand your client's business. Like no matter whether you're niching down or not, like you have to do that either way. You have to understand what their pain points are. You have to understand what their goals are. And you don't just get that only from niching down. And I think that's what people sometimes forget.
Yes.
Like they like to look at it as black and white. You know, niching down means you will understand your client and what their needs are. Whereas generalists are,
there you go,
are lumped into the category of like, oh, like you need a video, here you go, great, done, right, onto the next. But that's what it used to be. You know, the generalists right. of today are, at least the ones that are doing it well, are ones that are kind of taking the niching approach and applying it to all their clients, because that's how you elevate the client experience. And when you do that, you retain more clients over time as well. Because I've noticed, like, the more Dario and I have started to understand all of our clients' needs over the last few years, we've been retaining them for longer and longer and longer. I remember many years ago, we used to think to ourselves, oh, okay, you know, clients have a natural life cycle of like 2 to 3 years. That's what we used to think. But now we don't, like, at least I don't think that anymore. You know, like, there's certain clients now that we've been working with for more than 4 years that we just started with, like in late 2020, early 2021 or something like that. And they're still coming back for more and more work, because also we understand the history and like the kind of work and their pain points over time. And it's always fun to see how a client can grow. Cause like, we had one client where when we started working with them, I think it was in 2022, they had like never done video before. And it was just, it was a whole experience to try to get them into it. And we started small with like quarterly videos, you know, getting them more accustomed to it. You know, it's simple, like you say, not the most glamorous, you know, like it's the boring content that needs to get done. But because they now got very comfortable with that, they wanted to start elevating it to the next level, doing more promotional content, more creative content. And once they see that success, they want to see how much further they can start pushing things, you know? And
that's how it works.
That doesn't necessarily mean you have to niche down to be able to do that. That's your job as an entrepreneur, essentially, right?
Yeah, and again, there's no rules. You know, do whatever you got to do. But, you know, it sounds like, you know, we're all extremely creative people and we enjoy working with different types of clients. You know, be able to have a good, productive conversation with anyone in order to prescribe them the right content blend that they need to grow their business. I think that's what we're all here to do. You know, if you get the level of fun that I get in working with everybody in the getting out of dentist, congratulations. You know, you're great. There's no right or wrong here. But I think as a creative, you just get more out of trying more things and experimenting. You know, I don't know. Yeah. That's my theory.
Yeah. Cause how, like, if you start niching down in one thing, how do you know that that is the kind of work that you want to do? Right. Exactly. Imagine if everyone started niching right when they started. It's like, you know, I kind of think I want to do only car videos. Sure, you want to do only car videos? Is that, do you think that's good sustainability over the long term? Not necessarily. Try different things. You might discover, like, a lot of the really successful people who have niched down were generalists for a while, when you think about it, right? Because they tried so many different things, then they found certain markets that just really were in sync with them, and just it worked. And the only reason they were able to figure that out was by trying a lot of different things. Because you never know. You never know if you take on that project, what you might discover about yourself and your business.
And I think, I mean, the key word that you said is sustainability. You just have to account for worst case scenario. You know, from a business, not even just the creative and having fun and doing stuff. If you want to be in the game for a while, from a business standpoint, if you're putting all your eggs in one basket, you're exposing yourself to 100% risk. You have to look at it like that. Is that what you want to do? You know what I mean? Like, you live in a crazy world. Things happen in businesses get gobbled up. Industries collapse overnight. So if you put all your eggs in that basket, something happens, what are you going to do in that case? You know, go try something different just in case. If you're doing dentists, maybe go into medical. Medical is a whole world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do a ton of stuff. They got big budgets. You know what I mean? If you're into cars, okay, maybe go and look into manufacturing and construction and supply chain logistics, trucking, because a lot of that psychology can, you know, work within there. But you're not just putting your eggs in one basket. If all you work with are Fortune 500s, you know, those guys, they'll pull your budget. You work with one, you think you're making money because, you know, it's a big contract. They pull that contract and that's all you got. Oh, you're finished, you know? Yep. So you have to think, you have to protect yourself as a business by putting these moats around it in terms of like the different sizes of companies, the different industries that these companies are in, the different, you know, types of content. You know, if all you do is big brand videos, what do you do when a client wants social? They're seeing all these other brands on social. Maybe you should think about rolling out a social offering, you know? And what I found with social is it actually allows us to have way, way, way deeper conversations with our clients than big brand videos ever did. Because we're talking to them every month. We're having them try out all this different stuff. We're doing 6, 7, 8, 10 videos a month, every month. We're seeing them face to face every month. And the conversation becomes normal. Versus with a big brand video, you have a pre-production call. You shoot the video, you give it to them, and then, all right, we'll see you next time. You know?
That's true.
So, like, it's something that it's deeper than the video. It's deeper than the niche, however the fuck you want to say it. It's deeper than that. Think about it. You know, think about your biz. Think where you want to be in 2 to 3 years. Do you want to work with Dennis and that's it? Great. And I don't know why I keep saying Dennis, but
that's
your go-to example.
These poor dentists, they're being picked on now.
there's a lot of agencies out here that go after dentists. And it popped in my mind because my photographer buddy, some dental agent, they claim to be these big dental experts. They're out in LA and they're trying to take a client down in Chicago. And my buddy knows this client. He's like, yo, you need to call IndieWrap. Da 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 da. Long story, but they're turning out to be garbage. They don't know what they're doing. They want to shoot everything on an iPhone with no microphone. it's bad. And they want people to shoot it on an iPhone, send it back to them in LA or where. Come on, dude.
You're
an expert. And again, this is probably a group of three people sitting around at a coffee shop. You know, running ads and having people shoot stuff on an iPhone, send it to them and say that they do dental marketing. That's the world we live in. Everybody's an expert.
Yep.
So
you have a couple ad dollars and you're an expert. That's what it is.
Hey, if you could do a TikTok ad today, you could do it. Everybody can do it. You can go on ChatGPT, kick out a script, shoot an ad, put $100 behind it, and you're in business. It's that simple.
Oh my God. It's like that. It's like those YouTube influencers online that are saying, like, I'll teach you how to be making $10,000 a month as a video business. It's like,
yeah, the sad part is the views on those videos.
Because everyone goes to them because, you know, like everyone's trying to think about how to increase their business, especially new people. And new people in the industry don't realize that if you're seeing these guys making these videos, they're not teaching you how to make your own money. You are the customer. You are the client that they're trying to target. Yeah.
They've never had an agency. They don't have any client. They don't have anything online about them owning an agency. Or you know what I love? I sold my agency. You didn't sell no damn agency.
Oh, that's funny. I sold the agency. It got absorbed. It got absorbed.
Conveniently. How convenient.
You know? How convenient. Yeah.
How convenient is that?
I had to delete
lucky
everything.
Guy. Right, right. Nothing's online about any kind of agency or anything. It's insane.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, they went out of business. That's what happened.
That's 100% what happened.
They tried to. What happens is they tried. Maybe they shot. Maybe they went to set and shot a few videos. They bought a course on how to create a course, and here they are selling that course.
Yeah.
This goes to the classic Jack Black saying from the School of Rock, you know, those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach gym.
There you go. And that's where we're at. And again, that's why it's important to get out there and put out content to combat that, because it's important, especially with the, you know, the younger, the new guys coming in the game, new videographers, new website, whoever. You know, when we came in again, there wasn't that much noise out there, guys. Like, it wasn't like ad. Now it's like, it's insane. So if you're brand new coming into space, you have to cut through all that, and it's even harder. So, you know, you have to be able to decipher between the real and the fake, and it's becoming harder and harder for people to see that, especially the new up and coming creatives.
I think I'm going to title this episode, Beware the Charlatans.
Beware the shots.
Beware of the dental agencies.
the dental video experts, you know, beware. Yeah. Beware.
Yeah, have a tooth with an X through it as the thumbnail.
And a cavity with a camera.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right, I think that's a good spot to end it. It's been an hour and
good
20
chat, fellas.
Awesome minutes.
Good.
Always a pleasure, Julian. We appreciate you joining for the second time with us. And looking forward to the next one already.
Third time's a charm, bro.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Julian.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Creatives Grab Coffee. Please make sure to follow and engage with us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, and your favorite podcast app.
Creatives Grab Coffee is created by Labs Productions, a video production company based in Toronto, Canada.
Creatives Grab Coffee is also sponsored by...
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group band packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We're more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post-sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. And we're all going to have a real good time.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.